Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the Muslim Experience Podcast, and I'm your host, Farooq. I hope you are doing well, and may Allah continue to bless you and your family in abundance of good health, wealth, and happiness. Ameen. So today, inshallah, I wanted to talk about my journey that I've embarked on through the Quran. I've literally spent the past few days just really deep diving into the first few surah of the Quran. The opening is Surah Al-Fatiha, of course, as we all know. And this in itself is truly amazing. There's so much beauty and power that is behind this beautiful surah. And it's the most recited surah around the world. So just think, each and every one of us, each and every Muslim who prays their salah and with each rak'ah or unit, we start with the Surah Al-Fatiha, followed by a surah. So just imagine how many times this surah is being recited literally every other second. And that in itself is just amazing to think about that. And it also reminds us about our purpose in life. We worship Allah alone. We seek His help alone. And He is Lord of the Alameen, which is mankind, jinn, and all that exists. So He is not just Lord of the Muslims. He is not just Lord of the animals or the angels. He is Lord of everything that exists, that came into existence, and that will come into existence in future. He is the Creator and the Lord of us all. We are also reminded in Surah Fatiha that we ask from Allah that we stay away from the misguided path, or the path that earns His anger. But we want to stay on the path that grants the goodness and His pleasure. We want to stay on the same path of what the prophets were in, who worshipped Allah, that same path. And then towards the end, we say Ameen collectively, and we say this, which marks the end of the Surah Al-Fatiha. And then I started kind of pondering over this surah, like how much benefit it provides for a person who reads it, and pondering over the meaning, because sometimes we tend to just read the Arabic and we forget about reading the meaning. So this Ramadan, I tried something different than just kind of reading the Quran and just putting it away and then picking it up again and reading it, you know, ad hoc. It just didn't give me that connection that I needed. So what did I need to do? So what I decided to do was kind of set up a schedule with myself and read the surah and then read the translation. And on top of that, you can also, you know, maybe watch some videos on the commentary, the tafsir, you know, some great scholars out there who summarize each of the surah. And that way it gives you an all-rounder connection with the Quran, which is the word of Allah. So some of the things that I learnt about Surah Al-Baqarah, for instance, it is the longest surah of the Quran. It also contains Ayatul Kursi, and there is mention of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the night journey. And he was gifted with the last two verses ever revealed within this surah. And there's so many amazing messages that come out of this surah So, for instance, verse number 285 of Surah Al-Baqarah, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam believes in what has been sent down to him from his Lord, and so do the believers. Each one believes in Allah, his angels, his books, and his messengers. They say, "We make no distinction between one another of his messengers." And they say, "We hear and we obey. We seek your forgiveness, our Lord, and to you is the return of all." Just that in itself, reminding us that each and every prophet, each and every messenger that was sent by Allah, there is no distinction between them. They all came with the same message, the same command: worship Allah alone. And they were sent to certain people within a certain time who were going towards wrong. And, you know, maybe this was a nudge to help them come out of this ignorance, or jahiliyyah times, as they call it. And some of them were warned over and over and over, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave them so many opportunities to turn to Allah. So many opportunities. You know, bear in mind, this is Allah that we're talking about. He could have just easily destroyed nations that disobeyed him, but yet he gave them chances. He gave them opportunities. He sent down warners for them to take that warning from that messenger and turn to Allah and stop living the way they do with their various rituals and, you know, things that they did, you know, such as burying their daughters alive. You know, there were so many things going on, and all these prohibitions that came into place were protecting these nations. Another beautiful verse I want to share with you, which is again from Surah Al-Baqarah, and it's verse number 286. Allah burdens not a person beyond his scope. He gets reward for that good which he has earned, and he is punished for that evil which he has earned. Our Lord, punish us not if we forget or fall into error. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden like which you did lay on those before us. Our Lord, put not on us a burden greater than we have the strength to bear. Pardon us and grant us forgiveness. Have mercy on us. You are our Mawla, our patron, our support, our protector, and give us victory over the disbelieving people. Now, if you look at that verse, the first part of it, Allah is reminding us that he will not burden you with something that he knows you cannot deal with. And further, it goes on to about the reward. Whatever good you do, you are rewarded for that, of course. And whatever evil, you are also taken into account for that. And then it goes into this supplication, this really strong dua. Allah has put that there for us. We can, you know, implement it into our prayers, after our prayers, and we can just pray daily as one of our supplications. Surah Al-Baqarah is also known as one of the lights that will help you on the day of judgment. It will intercede for you. It will be like a lawyer for you to fight your corner. And evil can never overcome you when you pray Surah Al-Baqarah. Also mentions the category of three people: those who believe, those who choose not to believe, and then they are the hypocrites. There's also a lot of mention in this surah about the proof of Allah, the existence. Like when people say they want proof, you know, Allah is saying, look around you. These things that are happening around you, such as the day turns into night, the night turns into day, the ships, how they are sailing through the waves, how the current takes them, the soil, the earth, the wind, the seasons as they change, all these or signs for those who have intellect and to turn to Allah and to worship Allah alone. And it also mentions about the previous prophets that came. So when you believe in Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, you're also believing that the same message was given to the previous messengers and prophets, and it was just basically them telling their people to worship Allah and to stop idol worship, etc. There are so many other things that are mentioned, such as the five pillars of Islam. There's also mention of the fasting and the Ramadan, of course. It tells us about taqwa and Hajj. There are some mentions in there about the various rituals of Hajj as well. And then there is the prohibitions of alcohol. Although it has some benefit, the evil of it is more. Really shapes our morality, like literally showing people how to live, how to be human beings. The theology, the ethics, the morals, all the things that allow us to live a more prosperous life. It also covers laws of marriage and divorce, like how to divorce, and like when two people are parting, be kind when parting. It's mention of giving a gift when parting. The surah also covers the concept of Islamic finance, how to manage your contracts, and, you know, making sure that you stick to your terms of the contract. There's no deceit, there's no hate. You know, make sure that if you're agreeing something with someone, you write things down. And there's just such a huge array of topics that are covered in this. Interest, of course, you know, riba, staying away from interest, it's one of the biggest sins. The likes of accepting interest is like going to war with Allah. Islam is an entire way of life. It also mentions about the origin of Adam alayhi salam, how Allah created him and, you know, gifted him with language and intellect, and he gave him the names of everything. So all the things that we know, they were provided to Adam alayhi salam. And then there's also a mention of the entire universe, where we are the only people who are gifted with eloquent speech. It also covers about the sinner who turns to Allah. That is the best sinner. But then there's also a sinner who becomes arrogant. We have to bear in mind that Adam alayhi salam was in Jannah and he did something wrong and Allah still forgave him. So, you know, Allah knows that we are not perfect. We all make mistakes. So as long as you turn to Allah, as long as you ask for forgiveness, Allah will forgive you. And you ask with a sincere heart. There is also mention of the Kaaba and the history of how it was built. It briefly touches on when, let's say, you're trying to do something good, don't let shaitan come in your way. And, you know, you're going to definitely have those kind of obstacles, especially when you're trying to achieve something and it's beneficial for you in this world and the hereafter. The shaitan is always going to try to find ways to stop you. And it covers the story of Yaqub alayhi salam, who was on his deathbed. He was concerned about his family around him, and they were he was concerned about their beliefs, like, what are you going to believe in when I leave this world? And they said Islam, and he died happily. It also covers about the fight between David and Goliath, reminding us that if you have faith in Allah, it doesn't matter how big your opponents are. He defeated him with a slingshot. So what does that tell you? When Allah is on your side, you will have victory. There's a lot of constant repetitions about the stories of the prophets. And, you know, there's some personal lessons, you know, like, don't question Allah. The others did, who questioned, and they were destroyed. And we are following the methods of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Also, Islam, a religion of proof, it's been established, and we must turn to Allah and devote ourselves to Allah. It also reminds us about the past nations. Like, if they did good, they will be accountable. And the same for bad. We are all accountable for our own actions. But at the same time, we are not accountable for their actions. So, you know, you can't blame the past. This is your life and you are accountable for yourself. There is also mention of the direction of the Kaaba when it changed from Jerusalem. There's also more mention about fasting, and it allows you to attain God consciousness, taqwa, and it has wisdom and reason in it. So, you know, again, those who can't fast should try to feed the poor and, you know, either try to make up those fasts that you missed. And of course, Allah wants ease for you. Yes, you know, there are matters that we find difficult, but the wisdom of our Rabb, our Allah, is above all things. Ramadan is the month of the Quran, and that is also when fasting is prescribed for you. So when we're also told and reminded about Allah when we turn to Him in verse number 186, if my servant asks you about me, then tell them, indeed, I'm close. Allah will respond to your du'as. There's a beautiful reminder about Ayatul Kursi, that whoever recites Ayatul Kursi, which is in this surah, whoever recites Ayatul Kursi after every fard salah, then nothing is in between him and Jannah except his own death. So that's literally 20 seconds investment after every salah to guarantee you Jannah. I'm sure you would not want to miss that opportunity. And then I just wanted to kind of conclude with Surah Al-Baqarah with regards to, like, the last two verses they were gifted to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, at the night of Isra, which is their journey. And to close, it's reminding us that we should be good Muslims, good human beings to our families and those around you. You know, Islam, we are a nation that all other nations should look up to. I hope you enjoyed my small journey through Surah Al-Baqarah today. Inshallah, I will try to do more during this holy month. And who knows, we might make a thing of this even after Ramadan, because I'm really enjoying this journey. I feel like it's something that we should really try to embed into our lives, getting close to the Quran, making sure that, you know, we are aware of what we're reading especially, and just letting it be your companion. One of the best feelings ever. And, you know, I just wanted you to try to do that for yourself, experience it for yourself, and, you know, that way you can bring it into your life. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.